This is News Perspectives News Radio. I'm your host, and today we are looking at a planet struggling for breath. The data is now indisputable. A landmark study published in Science Advances this May 2026 has confirmed a staggering decline in the health of our planet's primary arteries. After analyzing over 21,000 rivers across the globe, researchers found that 78% are losing dissolved oxygen. This suffocation of our freshwater systems is driven largely by rising temperatures and nutrient runoff. The common ground is clear. Without a unified international response, the aquatic biodiversity that sustains our collective water resources faces an existential collapse. But while the science is settled, the geopolitical response is fractured. As the oxygen levels drop, the political temperature rises. When we look beneath the surface of this report, we find three distinct narrative blocks, each interpreting this environmental catastrophe through a wildly different lens of power, debt, and security. First, we see the security and stability block, led by the Western industrialized nations. For the United Kingdom, the United States, and Germany, this is a crisis of systemic maintenance. The BBC and The Guardian are framing this as an urgent call for the UK to spearhead international nutrient pollution reforms to prevent freshwater dead zones. In Washington, the focus is more internal and economic. American outlets are highlighting the eastern United States as a critical hotspot, viewing oxygen loss as a direct threat to food security and the economic stability of trade routes. Across the Atlantic, Germany views the crisis through the lens of social stability, linking the decline in EU water security to the potential for resource-driven migration. Perhaps most acutely, Israel frames the suffocation of the Jordan River as a strategic threat. In the Middle East, ecological collapse isn't just an environmental concern. It is a risk factor that could destabilize fragile water-sharing agreements and exacerbate regional military tensions. To this block, the solution is pragmatic: better management, tighter regulations, and the preservation of the existing order. However, viewed from the global south, the logic flips entirely. This second block, comprising Latin America, South Africa, and the Arab world, rejects the idea of a shared responsibility. Instead, they speak of ecological debt. In Latin America, regional outlets are pointing at the Amazon basin and arguing that these rivers are suffocating under the weight of industrial models imposed by the North. To them, the Science Advances study is an invoice for a debt owed by industrialized nations. South African outlets are framing the study as a demand for historical justice, insisting that the Global North take responsibility for the degradation of Southern African waters. In the Arab world, the narrative is even more existential. Media there frames the 78% decline as a direct result of the systemic denial of water rights. For this bloc, the suffocation of rivers is a metaphor for the suffocation of their own autonomy and survival. Then we have the sovereignty and new leadership bloc, dominated by the shifting tectonics of the BRICS nations. China, whose researchers at the Chinese Academy of Sciences led this very study, is utilizing the data to showcase its arrival as a global scientific leader. Beijing is calling for international cooperation, but on terms that emphasize the vulnerability of tropical regions, effectively positioning itself as the protector of the global south's ecological interests. Russia, however, adds a layer of skepticism. While acknowledging the Chinese-led data, Russian state media warns against globalist climate narratives that might use this deoxygenation crisis as a pretext to infringe upon national industrial sovereignty. In India, the narrative is a delicate balancing act. While outlets highlight the Ganges as a critical hotspot of oxygen loss, there is a fierce insistence that climate adaptation must not derail India's economic growth. For this bloc, the environment is a new arena for soft power and a shield against Western intervention. Why is the world so divided on a matter of basic biology? The answer lies in what these rivers represent. For a Dutch policymaker, a river is a logistical and legal challenge to be managed through international water law and pragmatic agricultural shifts. For a humanitarian worker in a vulnerable region, that same river is a lifeline whose failure means mass displacement and toxic water quality. The split is driven by a fundamental disagreement over the past. The West sees a technical problem to be solved with innovation and treaties. The Global South sees a crime scene where the evidence is floating on the surface. And emerging powers see an opportunity to rewrite the rules of global governance. As we look toward the midpoint of 2026, the question is no longer whether the rivers are dying. The question is, who is responsible for bringing them back to life? And what will they demand in exchange for the air we all breathe? I'm the lead anchor for News Perspectives News Radio. Thank you for listening to the world from every angle.